Yesterday, I got out of bed and thought, gee, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. A homily. Oh, not just Christ the King this week, Thanksgiving. Let me say some things at the beginning about the origin of the day, and then move through all three readings from Deuteronomy, Philippians, and John's Gospel about what those themes are and how they point to our understanding of appropriating the nature of Thanksgiving, not just as a holiday, but as a disposition of the Christian soul, one of Thanksgiving. Every Sunday, you and I come to the great Thanksgiving, which is the Eucharist. In fact, in Greek, Eucharist means Thanksgiving. So we're here to return thanks to God for the many blessings that we receive, which is the traditional understanding. But it's also, I think, a much deeper concept. The first Book of Common Prayer in the American Episcopal Church was published in 1789. And a little part of the deep 3995 history, you know that we used the 1662 prayer book from England as it had been changed and slightly altered by the Scottish Episcopal Church. And so it is, if you want to be technical, a bit more of a Catholic liturgy than the 1662 book. We had no Thanksgiving Day. And in the prayer book for 1789, the compilers believed it would be important to have a collect, a prayer, and some readings, perhaps, for Thanksgiving, some form of Thanksgiving. Here's the original prayer. Most merciful Father, who has blessed the labors of the husbandman, and in the returns of the fruits of the earth, we give thee humble and hearty thanks for this thy bounty, beseeching thee to continue thy loving kindness to us, that our land may still yield her increase to thy glory and our comfort through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the prayer that I just read a few minutes ago, Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks for the fruits of the earth in their season and for the labors of those who harvest them. Make us, we pray, faithful stewards of your great bounty for the provision of our necessities and the relief of all who are in need to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now here's the difference. You hear me preach all the time about the importance of how we cooperate with the divine initiative. And one of the great developments in the life of the church, in our church as the Episcopal Church, has been to emphasize something we now call the baptismal covenant. The baptismal covenant is not something present in all of the prayer books of the Anglican Communion. And this development and the addition of the baptismal covenant provides the opportunity to see how in this collect, Dr. Massey Shepherd said, the first thing to do is to give thanks to God for all of the abundance and blessing that we receive as human beings. And the second thing to do is to acknowledge our part in this divine economy, which means that we need to be good stewards of the resources that we receive through God's blessing and abundance. And we need to pay attention to the right use of those things in our own culture and society. So I view this collect that we read now as a positive development in our understanding of this. I suspect more evangelical Christians would suggest that we have diluted what the first collect intended, and that is a reference to the absolute sovereignty of God as being the one that we return thanks to and who is responsible for all things. And we become now the passive receivers of this bounty, as opposed to people who are, for some great mystery, part of the plan of God for the cosmos, that you and I count in some way, and what we are and what we do mean something. I sometimes like to think on Thanksgiving about the first Thanksgiving. And I always think, my teacher Urban Holmes at Neshota House many years ago said that one of his clerical colleagues in North Carolina discovered that his son had been went off to school to a Thanksgiving pageant, and he showed up just as he was leaving in buckle shoes, breeches, and one of those tall pilgrim hats. And he said to his son, "I'm sorry to report to you that you are dressed as the enemy." Anglicans weren't Puritans, or all of them weren't. A certain significant group were, and they came to this country and split from the Anglican Church and became Congregationalists, Be that as it may, think about the first Thanksgiving. Rather than everybody in buckle hats and buckle shoes and little bonnets and all this sort of stuff looking smug and happy, maybe it was a Thanksgiving in the midst of still a great struggle to survive. And you needed to know that somehow you were grateful to God for getting a toehold in this rough country, and also having somehow a modus vivendi with the native peoples, at least briefly. So you sit down and you do this together. So I sometimes think of the first Thanksgiving as a metaphor about our own daily life. And sometimes in the midst of the demands and the opportunities and the challenges, we don't feel particularly thankful. In fact, we may feel like we're marching from one horror to the next. And so the Christian person is obliged to say, you know what, I need to learn how, sometimes by a main force effort, how to cultivate the attitude of thanksgiving. The biblical readings are going to come to our aid, and I'll mention that in a moment and reconnect that. But first, let me say something about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the reading for today about the corporate understanding of thanksgiving as the American people. And the temptation that existed in Israel at the writing of Deuteronomy, and the temptation that has existed in this country, which we at our better moments keep at arm's length, is that we affirm God's special care and God's attention to us as a people and the benefits that we have received as a people, not because we are a special elect that somehow now can lord it over others, or believe that in order for others to receive the blessing of God, they must comport themselves in a fashion exactly as we do. I grew up in a family who believed smugly that they couldn't understand for a moment why anybody wouldn't want to be like them. Right? 1950s America marching from strength to strength. My grandfather believed that our economic system was the mainspring of human progress. In some ways it is and was. And in some ways that was a huge miscalculation. So this is about thinking about your chosenness. Remember I say, God knows each of us by name, loves and forgives us and accepts us unconditionally. That's the promise of the gospel of Christ. So it's a form of election for sure, but it invests us not with special privileges, but special opportunities and responsibilities. And so the first reading is the rehearsal for the people of their salvation history from Abraham up to the point of the writing, and how they return thanks to God by virtue of the fact that God's gracious hand has been with them, God's abiding presence, even in the midst of circumstances that they could not understand or feel. Philippians is where we connect to what to do about feeling in a more thankful mood, what to emphasize. If you were to ask yourself, how am I making spiritual progress, if at all? We've talked about this in the past. One of the ways is to say, am I more able to express the fruits of the Spirit? God coming in an inward way to enlighten and strengthen me. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. If those habits of relating and being become now, even for a split second, a little more easy for you, you're making some form of spiritual advance. Paul is suggesting to the Philippian congregation, one of the healthiest, if not the healthiest, of the congregations that he founded, that they ought to focus on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. I like the King James Version, whatever is of good report. You know? So maybe it's a good thing on Thanksgiving and other times to take a little inventory, see if you have at least one or two things in your life that are of good report. Not only because they bring to you some internal sense of serenity and the ability to maintain the non-anxious presence, but equip you now for being available for others, to be a transparency and reflection of God's grace and love. Finally, the gospel is about the strength and the location of where we receive the strength to continue on a regular basis through the bread of life, the abundance of God's sustaining power. Oftentimes, biblical scholars and people who read John's gospel focus on the sections of the gospel where Jesus refers to himself or speaks in general terms about the bread of life as being very distinct Eucharistic images. John's gospel is a great mystery because it doesn't have any story of the Last Supper. It doesn't talk explicitly about baptism except Jesus' baptism. And yet the entire gospel is absolutely shot through with sacramental significance. And the tendency is always to refer or think of Jesus speaking as the bread of life to the Eucharist that we receive on a weekly basis as the source of sustaining power and strength. And that is true. But in today's gospel, the point that is being made by the Savior is that this sustaining power is in Him, in His person. He is the bread of life that brings that kind of strength and power and the ability to maintain the stamina to meet the challenges and the opportunities in front of us. So when you think about the bread of life, this particular passage in John's gospel connects to the first chapter, the description of who Jesus is as the Logos, the organizing principle by which we govern our lives. What does that mean, organizing principle? It means whatever you know how to do that makes you a decent human being and able to relate to people in a better and more healthy fashion and to commend the practical wisdom that you have to others that will help them and to be humble and open to listening to the practical wisdom that other people share with you, you are now being sustained by the bread of life. So as you proceed for the rest of the day, the rest of Thanksgiving, there's a lot of football on and food awaiting. Think about the blessings that we receive corporately as the people of this country. Remind ourselves that we are a work in progress, and we're all grateful, I know I am, to be an American and receive those blessings with the full knowledge that there is much to do. And God is working in us. And see if you can, even today, begin to think what is true, lovely, honorable, commendable, whatever is of good report in your life that you are able to use and sustain you, even if it's a little thing. I one time heard a man who had been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for many years, who said, when I started out, I didn't think there was any such thing as a higher power. So the first thing I said, I got to believe in something beyond myself. So the Fifth Avenue bus is something I know is bigger than me and working, and that's what I'm going to start with. So sometimes that's what you got to start with, is the Fifth Avenue bus. Whatever is of good report, it comes on time, right? It shows up sometime along the way in the day. So whatever is of good report in your life, And finally, give thanks for the spiritual food and drink that we're about to receive, and that behind this spiritual food and drink is the human being that humankind has learned manifests the highest and best of our human potential. And by extension, we are able now to model that behavior to the world, and it is a blessing to be able to do that. Happy Thanksgiving.